Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Ed Battagliano and Wesley Wildman, and now Parrish Alford joins us. Good morning, Parrish.
Tim, how are you, man?
Doing well. Yourself?
I'm all right. All right. Happy to be here.
Well, we like that attitude right there, Parrish. Right. Happy to be here. Just happy to serve. All right. So we told you an hour ago and 30 minutes ago that Ambassador Mike Huckabee was scheduled to be with us, and then I said sarcastically, but we all know how that works.
When you're at the ambassadorial level,
you don't know what you're going to be called to do or say. So yeah. I think we have Mike Huckabee with us now from Jerusalem. Good morning, Mike. Good afternoon.
Good morning, Tim. It is a pleasure to be with you. Did you ever doubt that I was going to show up?
Well,
is that really what I'm hearing here?
I didn't doubt your willingness to show up and come on. It's just that I know that things interfere with schedules sometimes, and that happens. Now, it's afternoon there in Israel, right?
It's actually 7 o'clock at night, so okay. We're about 8 hours ahead of Central Time Zone where you are in Mississippi.
Okay, how long have you been on the job there now?
It seems like for several years, but it's actually just been since the early part of April. But, Tim, I'm loving it. I'm where God wants me to be, and I'm having an incredibly intense time. I don't want to make it sound like that this is a ceremonial position, because this ambassadorship is definitely not. But I just know that I'm where I need to be, and it's been a delight to be here serving the president and the United States in a part of the world that I've been visiting for 52 years and have been here over 100 times before I came to live permanently. And it's at a very critical time in the life of Israel and in the relationship between the United States and Israel. So I feel privileged and blessed beyond measure to be able to have this opportunity.
Well, what's your day-to-day look like? I know it probably changes, but what's one or two things that's on your daily priority list there?
Well, every day I spend some time in high-level security briefings in a skiff where we can't have phones or watches or very intense just gathering of what's going on in the region. We get briefed by our intelligence staff, and, you know, that's something that's not what you do every day when you live in Little Rock, so it's been quite a different world. But it's a very hectic schedule from early morning until late night. I still have two more meetings tonight after I finish the call with you. It's just the way it is, and there's never 2 days quite alike, but a lot of events, but a lot of meetings with high-level government officials in Israel, ambassadors from other countries, trying to deal with some of the complex issues. I spent several weeks shuttling back and forth between Palestinian Authority leaders in Ramallah and Jerusalem, trying to deal with some issues that are conflicting between the two. You know, you just never know what you're going to be dealing with. Of course, we've been down into Gaza, checking out the humanitarian situation there, watching the humanitarian delivery of food through the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. It's everything that a person could hope for in terms of you're never bored, because there's never a day that things just all fall into place and it's simple.
We're talking to Ambassador Mike Huckabee, who is the U.S. Ambassador to Israel. He's in Jerusalem on the job, as they say. You have been in the news the last couple of weeks speaking out on the the idea that's been presented by many in the mainstream media that Israel's starving the people of Gaza intentionally. And you wanted to set the record straight, and go ahead and talk about that issue, if you would.
Well, Tim, it's just a vicious lie. First of all, when in the history of the human race has a nation that was attacked and its citizens murdered expected to feed the people whose country murdered them? I mean, that just didn't happen. And I get a little frustrated when I hear people like the Prime Minister of Great Britain criticize Israel for not putting more food in for the Gazans. The fact is, they've put 2 million tons of food in. There has been plenty of food that has been sent into Gaza. The problem, according to the United Nations' own numbers, 92.5% of that food was stolen or looted by Hamas. So it's not a lack of food, and it isn't the Israelis that are keeping it from getting to the people. It's Hamas. And I just wish that all of these European countries that are giving Israel such a hard time about the manner in which they're trying to defend themselves would put the pressure where it belongs, and that's on the savages of Hamas, who carried out some of the most despicable, unspeakable horrors of humanity against Jewish people on October the 7th of 2023. So it's a constant battle to try to get truth juxtaposed against the lies that are constantly put in the media. And I'll give you a couple of examples. The New York Times, about a week ago, ran a picture of a child on the front page of the New York Times and said, this child is starving because of Israel. But the truth is, the child had a genetic disorder, had a birth defect. The child wasn't starving. The child had a medical problem. If you looked at the pictures of his entire family, his mother and siblings were quite well fed. So it's that kind of nonsense. This week alone, there was a story coming out of Italy that the Israelis had starved a child, and they flew it to Italy for medical treatment, and the child died of starvation. Again, not true. Israelis did fly the child to Italy, but the reason they flew the child to Italy was because the child had leukemia. The child died, but the child died because of the leukemia. The child was not starving. It's that kind of thing that is a constant source of frustration. And to be where I can speak against it and try to bring truth and light to it, that's one of the, I think, most important things I do here.
Absolutely. We were talking to Ambassador Mike Huckabee. Well, Mike, one other thing I have to ask you. You're obviously a believer, a Christian, and I don't know that the U.S. has had a evangelical Christian as ambassador to Israel ever or in a long time. Do you know that?
I don't know. I think I may be the first. There have been others who considered Christian, but more mainline denominations. But I'm pretty sure I'm the first evangelical. And frankly, when the president asked me to do it, I was concerned that maybe there would be people who said, he's not qualified to be the ambassador to Israel. He's not Jewish. Much to my delight, Jewish people, both in the U.S. and in Israel, have been the most supportive. And even among secular Jews, and here's what they tell me, and it's very rewarding to hear. They say, we are glad that you are who you are, because if you were Jewish and you were supporting Israel, everybody would say, well, of course he does. He's Jewish. What choice does he have? I'm not Jewish. I'm Christian. And I do have a choice. But my love of Israel and my support is not because I'm Jewish. It's because I believe the Bible. And I just trust the scriptures when it tells me that those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed. I have a deep appreciation for the fact that my own faith is built entirely on the foundation of Judaism. Without the Jewish faith, without God's revelation through the Jewish people, God chose a people, he chose a place, he chose a purpose. And without that, my own faith wouldn't exist. So it's easy for me as a Bible believer to understand and even to explain why I am a supporter of the Jewish people and of the state of Israel.
Amen. All right, Mike, we will let you go to your, you said two other meetings?
Yeah, it's going to be a long night, but most of them are, but just pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Tim, and I want to thank all your listeners because I really believe that most of the people who listen to American Family Radio are the people who love God, who Amen. Believe the scriptures to be the infallible, inerrant word of God, and they're those who do pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and I'm deeply grateful for
them. Amen. 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 All right, Mike, take care, my friend. We'll talk to you again real soon, and we appreciate you making time for us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. That's Ambassador Mike Huckabee. Who's you know, before he was confirmed, he said, I will be on with you when.
Yes, he did. And he's kept his promise.
Kept his promise. Promises made, promises kept.
Yes, that's right.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. And pray for him.
Yes.
Ambassador Mike Huckabee.
Sounds like it's a tough schedule that he's keeping.
Formerly the governor of Arkansas for two terms, and now ambassador to, I like what he said. He said, yeah, the meetings over here aren't like life in Little Rock, you know, something to that effect. Remember him saying that?
Yeah.
Mike had lived in the Gulf Coast for a few years, had a home there at least, down on the Gulf Coast. And then he moved back, somebody said, to Little Rock. And then he had a TV show he did for years on Fox called Huckabee. And then he switched over and did it for, I think, TBN. And wonderful man there, Governor Mike Huckabee, joining us from Jerusalem. All right, Parrish, what's your first story?
Well, Tim, I would like to crash in. That's a radio term, I understand, that I've learned since
crash
I've been
in?
Here. Crash
you
in.
Crash away.
Because this... I did not have available for the preparation meeting earlier, but I'm wondering if you guys have discussed Cracker Barrel's new logo. Have y'all discussed that?
No, but
you know, we haven't.
We have not, and we have not discussed Cracker Barrel's renovations of their stores.
Yes.
Or their new, apparently, woke CEO.
I think our listeners are waiting for us to weigh in on this.
Well, y'all aren't kidding. This is real.
This is real.
Well, all right, what are we talking about here? I don't even know what we're talking about.
We were
go ahead, lay it on us.
Well, the story that I have is about the quote, modernization that they're seeking, the new CEO is seeking. They have changed the logo. They've changed the decor in their stores and whatnot.
Is that a new logo?
This is the old logo.
Okay, where's the new logo?
This is the new logo. You can see that the gentleman sitting in the rocking chair next to the barrel, they're both gone. They've just vanished.
What happened to the fella?
They're gone. I also didn't know that
he was disappeared.
That his name is Old Timer. Okay, I learned that in the story. His name is Old Timer, but it doesn't matter.
Barrel,
he's gone.
What is a Cracker Barrel exactly? Ed, do you know or what?
I do know.
Or what is a Cracker Barrel?
This is not trivia, guys.
No,
it's tomorrow. Okay,
we need to comment on that. By the way, but go ahead.
Yeah, they used to ship crackers in big barrels. That was before they came in boxes.
So it's not a racial term.
Cracker. Oh, my goodness.
What?
No. It's got nothing to do with crackers.
Some people.
That white people.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I do. No, it's that's why it's a barrel in the old logo. He's standing by a barrel. They used to ship all kinds of things in barrels, and crackers were.
So that's gone. The Cracker Barrel that we've always known, the sign with the man sitting by the barrel is gone, and it's just going to say Cracker. Okay, that's every company changes their logo and their look, so I don't have a problem with that necessarily. What's the
stocks tank?
What's the woke stuff?
No, that the accusation is the new CEO is doing this because she's alleged. That's why I said allegedly woke. The decor of the store has changed. All the old timey stuff that's up on the walls, all that stuff is gone. The lattice work. I don't know about our local.
When did you go in the store last?
No, I'm just saying. I don't know if our local Cracker Barrel has gone this route, but that's the intent, is for all these stores to change. Remember the lattice between the dining sections.
But how's that woke?
I'm not saying it's woke. I'm saying some are saying the changes are woke because they are going away from the old country feel because they're jettisoning their old school values.
Wesley,
well, I was going to say you mentioned that they have a new founder, a new CEO. Okay, well, her views, if it's out there, could give indication on why they're doing what they're doing. You know, a lot of these restaurants like this, they have a contract, so they have to follow whatever headquarters says.
Oh yes.
So
if they're franchises, so you know
what's her name? We're getting there.
I do you know the name of?
Well,
regardless
of the name,
talking to Parrish.
Yeah, I don't see the name in this story.
No, I'm not.
Regardless,
all right. CEO Julie Fels Massino. Massino.
We need like a Frank.
Well, you know, we'll see. I haven't been in there in a while. I need to go in there, Cracker Barrel. But I think they're trying to, They're trying to change their image somewhat to appeal to
facelift
new customers. Yeah.
And well, and so they have come out. The company's come out as supportive of LGBTQ. And that's part of why there's accusations that the company is back in the early 90s. They were targeted by the LGBTQ crowd because they would not have Pride Month celebrations and those kind of things. And now they have gone in that direction.
We got rainbow grits now.
Well,
do we? Is that what you're saying?
No. Oh. So that's why people are saying that these changes now are also part of the woke movement of Cracker Barrel because they're moving away from everything they used to stand for and are, yeah. I'm not saying it.
All right, next story.
All right, climate change.
Ed's just saying some people saying are saying. That's well, all Ed's saying.
I was about to go with my poor Trump imitation.
The Associated Press reports that the climate change folks say it's not good for the climate for you to own a dog.
Come again?
Do not own a dog if you are truly
a DAW truly, Chief Parrish.
Well,
that what you're saying?
Well, no, no, not that kind of dog. They get owned by a lot of people.
Okay, well, unless you're Georgia,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, not those, not those dogs.
It's that time of the year for college football, Joe.
Yeah. Mississippi State dogs.
But so only a fourth of our audience got that. We just lost.
Well, no, a lot of Southerners do. They say dog. Phonetically, they say it D-A-W-G. Well,
they actually will write it out that way, too.
Yeah, that happens. So let me ask you this. So the who are these climate change people that are anti-canine?
Well, they're trying to help you understand the best things to do.
For the climate?
For the climate. And they say a lot of people think they're making a real impact because they go to the LED lighting in the home.
Right.
Or things right. like that. And those things really don't have much of an impact.
That's what these people are saying.
That's
but
right.
But getting rid of Fido does.
But and what they're saying here is that dogs are big meat eaters.
They are.
Meat is a significant contributor to climate change. I'm reading from the story now. That is because many of the farm animals will become food, release methane, a greenhouse gas that contributes to climate change.
Yeah, we know what it is.
Okay. All right, and beef is especially impactful because not only do you get the effects of the beef, but you've also cut down a lot of trees to use the land to raise the cattle. So,
well, we're just these dogs going. Are just causing climate catastrophe. Well, Tim, yeah. I got to challenge you right here now. Make your stand. You've got a dog.
I got a dog
that you didn't initially want, but is now a
the
beloved.
Climate can burn. Cause I ain't getting rid of my dog. So sorry. Next topic. Well, you got more than I do.
No, not anymore.
Oh,
we've run out of dogs. They've all died.
You and Diane used to be like rescuers.
No, not me and Diane.
Diane
was a rescuer. I just paid for it. Yeah. But now she's getting to the age where she says, I don't want to start over with brand, you know, little right. puppies and stuff. Right. But listen, these folks here, these climate people, if you were to ask them, maybe not on a talk show, but, you know, privately, maybe sitting at woke Cracker Barrel. I'm just kidding, folks, about the woke part. I have no idea. But some people say.
Though.
Yeah. But if you sat down with these climate people, I'd be willing to bet dollars to donuts. They would say, get rid of your dogs. Stop eating meat. Stop cutting down trees. And if you gave them the power to do it, they'd try to force you.
And also, too, they are also a fraction of a fraction of the fraction of people that believe that too.
Yes.
They have a pretty big influence.
Yeah.
Next story.
Yeah, I will say that comes from a report from the National Academy of Sciences.
Well, there you go.
Let me just add one quick thing, okay? Because I know Tim's already tired of this story. But a solution could be going to your local Chinese restaurant, in which case you
I'm gonna have to save you right here. I think you probably need to stop.
All right,
right
I'll
there.
Stop.
Huh? All right.
101 ways to
I
walk your
to
dog.
Keep going.
That's wrong. And Americans who don't know about it don't need to know.
Yeah, okay. Okay. All right.
you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Parrish. We got about 5 minutes. What else you got, Parrish?
Yeah, I really feel like this should be Fred Jackson's story here.
Okay.
But we have a story about a Spirit Airlines plane that allegedly flew into the hurricane. Not away from the hurricane.
Not as a hurricane chaser.
This is Hurricane Aaron.
This was in Newsweek, right?
This was in Newsweek.
Allegedly, what happened here now?
Okay, a Spirit Airline plane appears to have flown through Hurricane Aaron this week when the hurricane was a Category 4 storm with winds over 100 miles an hour.
Where was it going from where to where? Do you
know? Well, it's going to Puerto Rico.
Okay. Okay.
It's on its way to Puerto Rico, and apparently there are conflicting reports. They're basing this on social media accounts, and one says they did, one says that they didn't. But what to know here, the flight path shared on social media by Flight Radar 24, that's somebody's handle, a live flight tracker showed a plane flying through the storm.
Like accidentally? They flew through the hurricane?
Well, we don't know because the comment from Spirit Airlines doesn't address the actual flight itself. They just talk about their commitment to safety. Safety is always our top priority. In this case, our pilots followed procedures.
And flew into a tornado. Hurricane.
Yep. We don't want to be sued by Spirit Airlines here, so
I would just say this: that when you work in the public relations department for big companies like this, and they say, "Okay, here's what social media is saying," write us something that makes us look good.
Yes,
I mean you got no choice. Hey, safety is our first concern. Okay, well that doesn't really help us.
It seems like the people on that flight would have been commenting after the flight. Hey,
you would think,
ma'am, if they seems like unusual turbulence.
Right. turbulence.
Okay, now professor from MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, says this can be done. Okay, he tells Newsweek, flying through a hurricane at altitude is not particularly hazardous if you are above the tops of the clouds and the turbulent layer.
You just don't tell people that.
Yeah. Is that a challenge?
Oh, all right, people, when we get off the ground, get up in there, we're going to be going through a hurricane.
But we will be above the turbulent layer.
Kind of like you need to be in your life. You need to be above the turbulent layer. I remember flying back from Europe to the U.S. one time. This is 25 years ago. And we flew over a hurricane. So we were, I don't know, 40,000 feet in the air, but we flew over, you could see the hurricane below.
Oh,
the
wow.
The high walls and everything like that. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That sounds
well, it may
cool.
be in the yeah. same. It may have been the same thing that happened here. Yeah. The professor goes on to comment, the winds are not a problem at altitude, and it is common for aircraft to fly in high winds aloft in the jet stream.
Right. I just think you put on a good movie, though.
Yeah,
you know, to distract people the best you can.
Yes, you don't want to tell them, hey, guess what?
No,
we're going. We didn't go around the hurricane. We went through it.
You play one of those airplane movies from the 70s.
Yeah.
All right, we need to tell folks about Trivia Friday tomorrow.
You want to break the news to them?
Well, we're gonna have a best of, folks, because basically there's no one here gonna be in the office to do the show.
I was coming in, but nobody else is here. JJ's in Israel. You got something going on.
I have a doctor's appointment that I cannot change.
And then Burton is out.
Kendra can't do it.
So anyway, we are going to play a best of for our trivia show tomorrow.
No, it'll be fantastic. You want to tune in and listen.
Yeah, we're going to go above the turbulence with the replay.
Yeah.
Tomorrow of our best of.
You won't be able to call in. That's right. Important.
So a week from tomorrow, we'll be back with live trivia.
Live, baby.
Live trivia.
We'll be live.
Have a great afternoon, everybody. Keep listening to AFR. Thank you.